What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday, getting ready for week five action. Season, spring 2021 season is rapidly approaching its end. Last weekend in March, a couple weekends in April, championship game to follow in May. So not a lot of time left on the clock, so to speak. To get things done. So we are in the hunt, in the championship hunt. And right now things are kind of topsy-turvy, mainly because on the east side, we have a team in Alabama A&M who has only played one game all season, but they're yet to play a swag game. They'll be hopefully changing that this week. But on that west side, well, let's continue with the east side. Alabama A&M and Jackson State are battling for the spot behind the Bulldogs. Right now, Alabama A&M is 1-1 in conference, and Jackson State is 2-1 in conference. So Jackson State has a slight lead over Alabama A&M as far as the percentage points go. Grambling, what is Grambling? They're not an East team. Valley is in the cellar right now, so to speak, at 0-1 in conference. And that's the only game that they've played. So they're following after everybody else. Now, Alcorn obviously has not played a game because they opted out of the spring season. Moving on to the west side. West side is always the best side. Pine Bluff continues to be the team to surprise people. Just like just like 2019, they were the surprise team for a while, but they're the surprise team right now. They're sitting at 2-0 in conference and overall, and Prairie View follows them at 2-0 also. So they're both tied for first place in the division, both with 2-0 records. Southern follows them at 2-1, also 2-1 in conference. Texas Southern and Grambling follow that. Texas Southern is 0-2, and Grambling is 0-3. So that pretty much puts us where we need to be as far as division standings go. But we're rapidly approaching some crunch time football, so to speak. And this is the time of the year where things really start to take shape. And being that this is a unorthodox type season, you're getting some unorthodox type scenarios right now. So we're moving forward. Some big news came through this last week. Two more games have been added to the TV schedule. Sunday, April 3rd, Southern heads to Jackson to take on Jackson State. Game will be carried live on ESPN, the big ESPN. 4 o'clock Central Standard Time kickoff. And then the following Saturday, April 10th, Alabama A&M heads to Jackson to take on the Tigers. Also on ESPN live, 2 o'clock kickoff. Live football on ESPN. No tape delay, no ESPN3, no ESPN2, no ESPNU, no ESPN the Ocho. ESPN live national TV, swag football. Three of the top teams in the conference facing off on two different weekends. So good chance to see some things take shape and see some good swag football and possibly a preview of the swag championship game if Southern and Jackson can make some things happen. Alabama A&M and Jackson is definitely the East Division. Crucial East Division game and eyes on as we move into that week. Before we go too far, I'm going to go ahead and throw out the social media pages as I like to do. So facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk, swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Let's move on to the weekly honors. Ezra Gray, co-offensive player of the of the year of the week. He rushed for 195 yards, which is a career high on 23 carries. He scored 3 touchdowns during Alabama State's 35-28 victory over Jackson State. He scored the game-winning touchdown on a 50-yard run with 1:29 left in the game. He added touchdown runs of 4 yards and 49 yards. He averaged 8.5 yards per carry, caught 2 passes for 14 yards, and returned 4 kicks for 92 yards, including a long of 31. His co-offensive player of the week counterpart is Skylar Perry, quarterback from UAPB. He was 18 of 30. He set career highs in yards, 346, and touchdowns with 4 in Pine Bluff's 48-21 win at Grambling. That was the first win over Grambling since 2013. He threw touchdown passes of 58, 60, 28, and 31. And he also ran 9 times for 38 yards. Defensive player of the week is Isaac Peppers from Arkansas Pine Bluff. He had a season high 10 tackles with career highs in sacks and forced fumbles with 2 each. He also had a pass breakup. Shaquie Thomas is the specialist of the week from Southern University. He had 130 kick return yards on 3 kickoffs, including 1 touchdown from 98 yards to help Southern defeat Texas Southern 51-23. Ryan Nettles is the newcomer of the week. Quarterback from Alabama State. He finished the day 27 of 42 for 257 yards and a pair of touchdowns against Jackson State. He threw touchdown passes of 35 and 8 yards. So congratulations to those young men on winning Player of the Week honors. And we'll see who can pull off that trick this week. As we push week 4 behind us and push into week 5, we start off our previews, which we have 2 games this week, with Alabama A&M and Grambling hooking up in Huntsville. Grambling hits the road for their first true road game of the season. They did play a game in Arlington, but this is their first true road game. Grambling comes into this game at 0-3, losing to Jackson State 28-33, losing 17-10 to Prairie View, and last week 48-21, lost to Pine Bluff. So they're coming in kind of reeling and looking for some answers because they have yet to really play Grambling football, so to speak. They're averaging 19.6 points per game, 59 total points. They're allowing 32.6 points per game, allowing 98 total points. They have 26 rushing first downs, 28 passing first downs, and 8 first downs by penalty, giving them a total of 62. The opponent's 27 rushing first downs, 28 passing first downs, 2 by penalty, for a total of 57. Grambling has ran for 374 yards on 125 carries, good for 3 yards per carry, 124.7 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. The opponent's 539 yards rushing on 123 carries, good for 4.4 yards per carry, 179 yards per game, 4 touchdowns. Passing, Grambling is 62 of 100. For 724 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, good for 241 yards per game. The opponents, 45 of 77, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 743 yards, good for 247 yards per game. Total offense, Grambling, 1,098 yards on 225 plays, 4.9 yards per play, 366 yards per game, 8 total touchdowns. The opponents, 1,282 yards on 200 plays, 6.4 yards per play, 14 total touchdowns, 427 yards per game. Grambling is averaging 35.3 yards per punt. The opponent's 38 even. Grambling is 17 of 46 on third down for 36%, 2 of 4 on fourth down for 50%. The opponent's 26 of 46 for 56% on third down and 0 for 2 on fourth down. Grambling has fumbled 5 times and lost 3. The opponents have fumbled 4 times and lost 4. So Grambling has 6 turnovers on the season. The opponents have 6 turnovers on the season. So it's an even turnover ratio for Grambling. Grambling has 3 sacks on the season. They've allowed 13. So they're definitely having problems protecting the passer. Grambling is 6 of 10 in the red zone, all 6 for touchdowns. Opponent 6 of 8 in the red zone, 5 of those 6 scores are touchdowns. Grambling is led in rushing by C.J. Russell, 27 carries, 114 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, long of 21, average 38 yards per game. Keelon Elder, 34 carries, 113 yards, 3.3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, long of 39, 37.6 yards per game. LaDainian Brooks, 21 carries, 96 yards, 4.6 yards per rush, no touchdowns, long of 16, average 32 yards per game. Jeremy Higbottom, 30 carries, 58 yards, 1.9 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, long of 14, average 19.3 yards per game. Higbottom leads the team in passing, 40 of 61, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 380 yards, long of 40, 126 yards per game, completing 65% of his passes. Walker, 21 of 38, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 267 yards, along with 61, 89 yards per game passing, and he's completing 55% of his passes. Clark leads the team with 16 receptions for 171 yards, 10.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, along with 40 yards, 57 yards per game. Ross, 13 catches, 152 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 39, 50.6 yards per game. Foley, 5 catches, 111 yards, 22.2 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 77, 111 yards per game. James, 7 catches, 96 yards, 13.7 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 25 yards is long, 32 yards per game. Johnson, 6 catches, 91 yards, 15.1 yards per catch. No touchdowns, 61 yards is long, 30.3 yards per game. Brooks, 4 catches for 39 yards, 9.7 yards per catch. No touchdowns, 17 yards is his long, 13 yards per game. Russell, 5 catches, 29 yards, 5.8 yards per catch. No touchdowns, long of 11, 9.6 yards per game. Richardson, 4 catches, 20 yards, 5 yards per catch. No touchdowns, 12 yards is a long, 10 yards per game. And Breton, 2 catches for 15 yards, 7.5 yards per catch. No touchdowns, 11 yards is a long, 7.5 yards per game. Defensively, they're led by Fontenot with 21 tackles, as well as Powell, also with 21, Dunn and Mitchell with 20. Matthews, 19, Anderson, 14, Martin, 12, Estes, Green, and Williams with 11, Fields, Foster, Richardson, 8, Sheffield, 7, Reed and Stewart, 6, Dotson, Lewis, and Ricard with 5, Asidu, 4, Britton, 4, and Carter with 4, tackle for loss, Powell, 4.5, Matthews, Williams, and Reed with 2, Green and Richardson with 1.5, Fontenot, Anderson, Foster, Sheffield, Lewis, and Carter each with 1, Dunn, Mitchell, Martin, Dotson, and Cage each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Powell, 1.5, Matthews, 1, Lewis, half a sack. Interceptions, Fontenot and Estes each have 1. And like I said, this is a Grambling team that's really, they're obviously not playing well right now. They're struggling, and they really have to try to find something that works. They've taken up their offensive staff 2 weeks in a row, and now we're going to see what they can do heading on the road against an Alabama A&M team who has not played very much football right now at this point, to be honest with you. They've only played 1 game. They had quite an adventurous beginning of the season. Alcorn was supposed to be their first game. They opted out, ended up with a forfeit. They were supposed to play Valley on March 6th, but Valley paused their football activities for COVID, so they were able to scrape up a game against South Carolina State. which they won 31-7. They were off on March 13th. March 20th, they were supposed to play Prairie View, but that game was postponed because Prairie View paused their football activities. So that game has been moved to April 3rd, and now they're playing Grambling on Saturday. So they have not played a football game since March 6th. So that, and they've only played one football game all year. So they're still, you know, they still have some questions to answer. They still have some things to kind of shake out, and obviously some rust that they're going to have to kind of, because they haven't played, and, you know, you really can't replicate what people are doing in games in practice. And even though Grambling hasn't been playing well, they have been playing football. So live action is better than no action, regardless of your results. So Alabama A&M scored 31 points in their first game. They allowed seven rushing first downs, 12 passing, 3 by penalty, giving them 22. 8 first downs rushing allowed, 6 passing, none by penalty. That's 14. 177 yards rushing for the Bulldogs on 36 carries, 4.6 yards per carry. 166 yards per game. They had 166 net yards. They had 177 total. The Bulldogs of South Carolina State had 165 yards rushing on 36 carries, good for 4.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Alabama A&M 15-33, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's going to be something that had to be cleaned up. 272 yards. The opponent's 10-22. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 132 yards, giving total offense 438 yards for Alabama A&M on 69 plays, 6.3 yards per play, 4 touchdowns. The opponent's 297 yards on 56 plays, 5.1 yards per play, 1 touchdown. Alabama A&M averaged 40.6 yards per punt. The opponent's 30 yards per punt. The Bulldogs were 4 of 11 on third down for 36%. The opponents 2 of 12 on third down for 16%. 0 for 1 on fourth down. Opponents 1 for 2 on fourth down. No fumbles for AAMU. 3 fumbles for the opponents. No sacks for either team. Bulldogs 4 of 4 in the red zone. 3 of those 4 were touchdowns. The opponents 0 for 2. In the red zone. Individually, Gary Quarles leading rusher, 21 carries, 92 yards, 4.4 yards per carry, along with 17. Quintarius Daniel, 5 carries, 31 yards, 6.2 yards per carry, no touchdowns, along with 13. Cameron Young, 2 carries, 30 yards, 2 carries, 29 yards, 14.5 yards per carry, along with 30. Akil Glass, 15-33, 272 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That number obviously has to be cleaned up. Like I said before, 45% completion percentage, longer 65. Receivers, Odu Hilaire, 2 catches, 83 yards, 41.5 yards per game. 41.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 65. Abdul Ibrahim, 6 catches, 81 yards, 13.5 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 23. Gary Quarles, 1 catch for 38 yards, no touchdowns. Terrell Gardner, 2 catches, 27 yards, long of 15, 13.5 yards per catch. Brian Jenkins Jr., 2 catches, 27 yards, 13.5 yards per catch. 1 touchdown, longer 20. Kendrick Johnson, 1 catch for 15 yards. And Keon Wakefield, 1 catch for 1 yard. Defensively, Armani Holloway leads the team with 10 tackles. Tariq Cofield, 6. Jonathan Scruggs, 4. Adekunjo, 3. Hayden Guilford, 3. Huggins, 3. Kelly, 3. Ben Biambi, 2, Callaway, 2, Kushine, 2, Gibson, 2, Armani Holloway, 2, Ibrahim, 2, Jackson, 2, Trenton McGee, also with 2, and Russell with 2. Tackle for loss, Holloway, Armani Holloway, 2. Kelly, 1. Kushine, 1. Jackson, 1. Billingsley, 1. Sacks, Kushine with 2, and Kelly with 1. Interceptions, Kelly with 2. So Alabama A&M is coming into this game really needing to take care of business and shake off some of this rust. Grambling coming into this game needing a W very, very badly. They don't want to go into the season at 0-4 because all they have left after this game is Texas Southern on April 3rd and then Southern on April 17th. So not much left for Grambling. If they want to finish 500 or better, well, not even better, but if they want to finish 500, they need this win. If they don't win this game, then the season is basically in the toilet. Alabama A&M has their full schedule pretty much ahead of them. They have Prairie View on April 3rd, Jackson State on April 10th, the Magic City Classic on April 17th against Alabama State, and then Valley in Valley on April 24th. So this is a very interesting game to me. I don't really even know which way to go. I think Alabama A&M obviously has the better offense because their passing attack is probably second to none. If at worst, they're probably second to what Pine Bluff is doing on offense, and they're still putting together their running attack. Defensively, like I said, they looked better last week. I mean, last week they looked better against South Carolina State than they did most portions of the season in 2019. So that's a positive. But it's always going to be interesting to see how they handle not having played football for a while. That's always something that concerns me anytime you play a game and then you haven't played and another team is playing. So I'm going to go with A&M in a game. I just think Grambling has just too many questions right now. And defensively, Grambling is pretty good, but they're not being able to show it. They're having to play so much on the field because the offense isn't consistent. So I'm going to say Alabama A&M 38, Grambling 20. Should be a game that to keep your eyes on just to see if Grambling can shake back at some point. Because if they will, they have to do it now. Time is running short. My next game, Alabama State heads to Pine Bluff to take on the Golden Lions. 6 o'clock kickoff, ESPN3 broadcast. Alabama State comes into this game at 2-1 on paper, 1-1 on the field. They have lost to Southern to open their season, 24-21. They were supposed to play Alcorn on March 6th. Alcorn opted out, so they forfeit. And they defeated Jackson State on Saturday, 35-28, to give them their first on-the-field win. So they're coming in feeling pretty good about themselves. They won a big, big game against Jackson State. And now you want to check and see how they mature. This is a young team in some aspects, so you want to see how they handle this kind of success because playing Jackson State put a lot of heat on them. A lot of attention came from winning that game, and now it's time to see how they develop and grow, if they can keep the momentum going or will they kind of cave to the pressure after winning a big game, because it was an emotional win for them. If you saw the final shenanigans after the game, if you saw that, then you know that this was an emotional win for Alabama State. And now is the time for them to put that behind them and play football. Do not let that one game define who they are all season and keep pushing forward. They're averaging 28 points a game, 56 total points. They're allowing 26, 52 total points, 19 first downs rushing, 21 passing, 3 by penalty, good for 43 total first downs. The opponent's 19 first downs rushing, 12 passing, 5 by penalty, 36 total first downs. Alabama State has run for 334 yards on 78 carries. That's 4.3 yards per carry, 167 yards per game, 4 touchdowns. 309 yards rushing for the opponents on 76 carries, 4.1 yards per carry, 154 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. Alabama State is 43-70, passing, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 406 yards, 203 yards per game, 5.8 yards per attempt. on his 29 of 72, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 315 yards, 157 yards per game. Alabama State has 740 total yards on 148 plays, 5 yards per play, 370 yards per game, eight touchdowns, 624 yards per game, 624 yards for the opponents on 148 plays, 4.2 yards per play, 312 yards per game, six touchdowns. Alabama State is averaging 42 yards per punt, the opponent's 38.3. The Hornets, 11 of 29 on third down for 37%, 2 of 2 on fourth down. The opponent's 9 of 32 on third down for 28%, 1 for 4 on fourth down. Four fumbles for the Hornets, losing three. Seven fumbles for the opponents, losing three. Six sacks for the Hornets, seven for the opponents. 4 of 4 in the red zone for Alabama State, 6 of 9 in the red zone for the opponents. Four of those six were touchdowns. Ezra Gray leading rushes, 37 carries, 268 yards, 7.2 yards per carry, three touchdowns. Long of 50, 134 yards per game. Ja'Cory Merritt, 19 carries, 73 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, one touchdown. Long of 14, 36.5 yards per carry. Keyron Jones, one carry for 10 yards. Ryan Nettles, 20 carries. For one net yard, 0.1 yard per carry, long of 11. Ryan Nettles, 43 of 69, four touchdowns, three interceptions, 406 yards, long of 35, 62 yard percent completion, 203 yards per game. Michael Jefferson, 13 catches, 123 yards, 9.4 yards per catch. One touchdown, longer 31, 6.61.5 yards per game. Jeremiah Hickson, five catches, 95 yards, 19 yards per catch, two touchdowns, longer 35, 47.5 yards per catch. Jahar Booker, eight catches, 89 yards, 11.1 yard per catch, one touchdown, longer 32, 44.5 yards per catch. Terrence Ellis, seven catches, 50 yards, 7.1 yard per catch. No touchdowns, longer 19, 25 yards per game. Abdul Diop, five catches, 32 yards, 6.4 yards per catch. No touchdowns, longer 11, 16 yards per game. Ezra Gray, two catches for 14 yards, 7 yards per catch. Longer 10 yards, 7 yards per game. And Ja'Cory Merritt, two catches for 4 yards, 2 yards per catch. Longer 5, 2 yards per game. Defensively, they're led by Colton Adams with 13 tackles. 18 tackles, Ershad Davis, 13. James Burgess, 11. Rodney Echols, 10. Brendridge, 9. Culpepper, 7. Rumpersard, 6. Tarver, 5. Troutman, 5. And Webster with 5. Edisipi, 4. Gaddy, 4. Harper, 4. Howard, 4. King, 4. Ogletree, 4. And Scott with 4. Christian Clark, Robert Rivers, Devontae Webster with 3, Booker, Smith, Terry, Went, each have 2, tackles for loss, Webster 2.5, Howard 2, King 2, Adams 1.5, Brundridge 1, Adesipi 1, Ogletree 1, Clark 1, Terry 1, West 1, Davis, Rumpersard, Tarver, and Gaddy. Each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Webster, Howard, King, Adesipi, Ogletree. Each have one sack. Interceptions by Troutman and Scott. So this is a very solid Alabama State defense. And the offense is improving week by week. Ryan Nettles is definitely shaping up to be a solid quarterback. And you have to keep in mind that this kid hasn't played before the Southern game. This kid hasn't played a competitive football game in over 3 years. He missed his entire senior high school season with the ACL injury, then COVID season didn't take place in 2020. So he hasn't played much football, and he's learning week by week and getting better week by week. This is his first road game, so this is going to be an interesting situation to take on, because he's played two games at home. and this is going to be an interesting affair to see how he handles playing on the road. But the running game has really stepped up. Ezra Gray is a speedster. He was more of a special teams guy the last couple of years. I mean, he did carry the ball fairly well as the pretty much the number one back, but not really breaking out like he did against Jackson. You know, that was just a huge game for him. And he really put his speed on notice with two long touchdowns in the fourth quarter to put that game away. So it's going to be interesting to see. Defensively, I think they're one of the few defenses that can probably stand up to Pine Bluff because they're very solid in the middle. Defensive line, they're really stout, especially at the tackles, and the linebackers are really solid. Secondary isn't great, but they can make plays. And they're going to be tested by a Pine Bluff offense that's really feeling themselves, and I mean that in a good way. Pine Bluff comes in at 2-0. They beat Southern 33-30 on March 6th. And then Saturday they beat Grambling 48-21. So they're scoring points offensively and making plays, and they're believing in what they're doing, and they're really believing in what the coaches are putting out there. And that's definitely a big thing to do when you have a team like this. They played both of their games on the road, so this is their first home game. And that's the fact that they won two tough games on the road against two teams that they haven't beat in quite some time is a huge factor. And I think that they're proving this year, at least in these small samples, that they're not going to fold like they did last year. They understand what's ahead of them, and they understand what it takes to get to that next level. And I think they're taking that step. They're averaging 40.5 points per game. They're allowing 25.5, 13 rushing first downs, 24 passing, one by penalty, good for 38 total first downs, 11 first downs rushing for the opponents, 22 passing, six by penalty, 39 total. Pine Bluff has run for 281 yards on 73 attempts, 3.8 yards per carry, 140 yards per game, three touchdowns, 221 yards for the opponents on 68 carries, 3.3 yards per carry, 110 yards per game, two touchdowns, 40 of 68 passing for Pine Bluff, six touchdowns, one interception, 569 yards, 284 yards per game. The opponents, 43 of 76, four touchdowns, four interceptions, 286 yards per game, 573 yards total in passing offense. Total offense, 850 yards for Pine Bluff on 141 plays, 6 yards per play, 425 yards per game, 11 touchdowns. The opponents, 794 yards on 144 plays, 5.5 yards per play, 7 touchdowns, 397 yards per game. Pine Bluff has averaged 39.6 yards per punt, 34.5 for the opponents. Pine Bluff is 14 of 33 on third down for 42%, 0 for 2 on fourth down. Opponents 11 of 31 on third down for 35%, 2 for 4 for 50% on fourth down. Pine Bluff has yet to fumble the ball this season. Opponents 3 fumbles and lost 2. 6 sacks for Pine Bluff, 2 for the opponents. Pine Bluff is 5 of 7 in the red zone, 4 of those 5 are touchdowns. 5 of 6 in the red zone for the opponents, 4 of those 5 are touchdowns. Pine Bluff is led in rushing by Omar Allen with 21 carries for 96 yards, 4.6 yards per carry. No touchdowns, longer 27, 48 yards per game. Skylar Perry, 17 carries, 96 yards, 5.6 yards per carry. Two touchdowns, longer 31, 48 yards per game. Mateus Clark, 23 carries, 63 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. One touchdown, longer 19, 31.5 yards per game. And DeJuan Miller, 2 carries for 33 yards, 16.5 yards per carry, longer 21, 16.5 yards per game. Skylar Perry, 40 of 67 passing, 569 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 59% completion, longer 60, 284.5 yards per game. Josh Wilkes, leading receiver, 10 catches, 215 yards, 21.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 60, 107 yards per game. Harry Ballard, 11 catches, 143 yards, 13 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 58, 71.5 yards per game. Tyron Ralph, 9 catches, 114 yards, 12.6 yards per catch, no touchdowns, long of 23, 57 yards per game. Jeremy Brown, two catches for 59 yards, 29.5 yards per catch, two touchdowns, long of 31, 29.5 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, three catches for 27 yards, 9 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 12 yards was his long, 13.5 yards per game. Omar Allen, three catches for 10 yards, 3.3 yards per catch, no touchdowns, long of 8, 5 yards per game. Defensively, they're led by Isaac Peppers with 18 total tackles, Kobe Watts, 16, Jalen Thigpen, 15, Askew and Steele with 11, Akins, Mitchell, and Smith with 10, Johnson, 9, Bentley, and Brooks with 5, also Newton has 5, Farmer and Harris with 4, McKinney, Daniel Peppers, Watson, each have 3, Hamilton, Gray, Lenore, Reeves, and Singleton each have 2. Tackles for loss, Peppers 2.5, Akins 2, Newton 2, Watts 1.5, Askew 1.5, Mitchell 1.5, Thigpen, Steele, Smith, Johnson, Hamilton each have 1. Bentley, Gray, Singleton, Beard, they each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Peppers leads the team with 2 sacks, Newton 1.5, Askew 1, Mitchell 1, and Beard with a half a sack. Interceptions, Thigpen with 2, Steele with 1, and Johnson with 1. So this, honestly, this is shaping up to be a very good game. I think this is a good game for two young quarterbacks. Skylar Perry obviously has been around for a while. This is the first year that the team is truly his. Last year he split time with Shannon Patrick, but this year, you know, he's leading the charge as the man, and he's definitely doing a good job in both games. Very few mistakes that he's made. He's running the offense very well. He's running the RPO game very well for them, run pass option, and he's running the read option very well and picking up yardage, and he's taking advantage of those really good wide receivers that they have. You know, they have a couple 6'3 guys, a couple smaller, quicker guys that can make plays. And they're using that offense the way that I thought it probably should be. The passing game is definitely dangerous. The run game is still not quite there yet. I think that they still have some work to do in really developing a go-to back. They don't have that guy quite yet. But when you're coming off of a guy like Taylor Porter, 2 1,000-yard seasons in back-to-back years, that's kind of hard to replace. But they're piecing it together with the quarterback run game and then, you know, timely running attempts from the other backs. But this is going to be a game that really tests both teams. Pine Bluff, they're riding high on 2-game winning streak against 2 West Division teams, neither one that they hadn't beat in quite a while before this year. Alabama State's coming in. They looked good against Southern. They didn't win, obviously, but they you know, they played tough. And they beat Jackson State on Saturday, so they're coming in with a little bit of momentum. And somebody's got to lose, and this is a game that's going to honestly go a good way in deciding both divisions. So neither team really could afford a loss. Pine Bluff playing with a little bit more of house money because, you know, they still have a tiebreaker over Southern, but they still have to play Prairie View. So they can't really stumble, and you don't really want to stumble, especially at home in a shortened season like this. But this is honestly right now at this point in the season, this is a coin flip type game. I love Alabama State's defense, and I love Ezra Gray, and I feel like a running game can travel. Like they say, defense travels. I think a running game can travel because you just never know how the weather's going to be with your passing attack or any other kind of circumstances and situations. But I feel like running and defense travels, and those are two things that Alabama State does well. And I think they may be able to slow down Pine Bluff just enough. I'm going to pick Alabama State in this game. I don't know if it's an upset per se, But I really think Alabama State's just they're playing really well. And I know Alabama State is one of those teams that, you know, they up and down every year. You know, they play a hell of a game, then the next week they lay a dud. I really think that I'm going against my conventional thinking and saying I think Alabama State is going to win this game by a score of 28 to 27. I think it's going to be a really good game, a really close game, and a very exciting game. I think either one of these teams honestly can win, but I'm going to go with Pine Bluff with the caveat that I'm going to go with Alabama State with the caveat that they have to be very solid in their kicking game because Pine Bluff is really solid with blocking kicks. So that's something Alabama State is going to have to be aware of. But I think Alabama State will get this one 28 to 27. And this is a big game for both teams. Like I said, next week, Alabama State goes to Mississippi Valley. So that's, excuse me, I'm looking at Pine Bluff. Pine Bluff goes to Mississippi Valley on April 3rd. They host Prairie View on April 17th, which is a big West Division game, and then they close out at home against Texas Southern. So they have two very winnable games, and then another tough game in Prairie View. So they need this win to maintain pace in the division. So a little bit of pressure there, but you know we'll see if they can handle that. Alabama State closes out their season at home again when they have two straight games at home, April 3rd against South Carolina State, and then April 10th against Valley. And then they go to Birmingham and take on Alabama A&M in the Magic City Classic. So not a very tough slate to close out the season. A non-conference game, a game against Valley. No disrespect, but I think that's a game that you should win. And then a tough game against Alabama A&M. So this is a game that they need because they can't afford to take another loss. One more loss would most likely knock them out of the division race. So if they want to win the division, they need to win this game and win the next two conference games after that. Depending on who they play in the division, they may end up on the road for a championship appearance. But this is gonna be an exciting week. It's only a two-game week, but both games have some kind of intrigue to them, so it shouldn't be a boring game. You know, narratives for the week. Can Grambling get back into it? Are they done? Is Alabama A&M a team that's a force to be reckoned with, or are they just gonna succumb to rust and probably never playing many games throughout the season? Is Pine Bluff for real? Is Alabama State for real? So we have some questions to be answered, and we're gonna know a lot about the rest of the season coming out of this week, which is something to say about a two-game week that you can answer so many questions and affect so many other games in the standings heading into the next week. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back on Sunday to recap these two games, and we'll see where we stand on the division races are starting to take shape, and we're not quite fully sure how things are going because it's so early, but at the same time, it's getting late. So that's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys on Sunday. I hope everybody has a good rest of the week. Stay safe and enjoy your time this week. And if you're going to a game, please be safe. If not, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday.